Hey, this is Captain Lee, and you're listening to the Andertons podcast.
Right, time for some Bryan Adams, Lee. I mean...
So how old were you when this album came out then?
Oh, it was 1984. This is from 1984, this album. I was about 2 years old, yeah. I can't remember...
Were you playing guitar when this album came out?
No, I wasn't. I can't remember it coming out, because I didn't get into Bryan Adams much later on, till I was, I don't know...
I mean, summer of 69, I definitely remember that on the radio. Wasn't that, I know there were lots of hits on that, but that, I'm sure that was the lead, that was what the first single that was released off this album.
Heaven was the biggest one.
Really?
I think Heaven is the only number one from this album. But, it's such an iconic album, isn't it? You know, it's such an iconic album, iconic sounding, summer of 69, It's Only Love, Tina Turner.
She did One some Night great Love duets Affair. In the 80s, didn't she?
Run to You, Heaven, Somebody. I mean, most of these songs are just top hits, right?
So, again with this, you said just before we started filming that, was it according to Wikipedia, it sold 12 million copies?
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like as many as I thought. I mean, that's half as many, I think, as Slippery When Wet sold.
Really?
I'm pretty sure
we said
that was...
Well, it's not bad for a Canadian musician, I guess.
Oh, I always sort of think to myself, in my head, I just think, when you have a song like Summer of 69, that you end up going, is there anyone on the planet that hasn't heard that song? Probably not. And you end up going, and yet...
And partying to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet...
It's only sold... What is 12 million people? Like the population of Luxembourg or something like that.
12, yeah. It's London, isn't it? Less than people that live in London.
But...
So... and his biggest album is Waking Up the Neighbours Up, but I think...
Is it?
Waking Up the Neighbours.
I'm really surprised at that.
That was Robin Hood's era, wasn't it? So you got Robin Hood film right. with the album, and then, of course, that whole thing kicked off with Kevin Costner, and so that's why I think that was bigger
well,
album.
Well, let's play it track by track and what we think.
So you just had the first one. Okay, let's have some... listen to some... The next one. Maybe not so popular... She's Only Happy When She's Dancing.
Okay.
Oh, riff. Yeah.
So,
I mean, that, and then just the shaker comes in. It's just such a groove. And then it goes away again. Kick bass, right? Art. Claps. I mean, it's such a...
What was the...
Just the building of the song is so classic, you know.
So who do you think inspired or, you know, influenced Bryan Adams?
I don't know.
This is a sort of early 80s, early to mid 80s rock band stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a sort of evolution of, I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, rockers at the time, you know, it's more modern rock and roll than, say, something like the Stones, isn't it? I always think of someone like John Mellencamp, that kind of American rock.
But these are earworms, aren't they? These are songs that you... Oh, solo, hang on. So simple. That's it. Oh, hang on. Love to Sega. And then, of course, he's the master of middle eights, Brian Adams. In my book, he's the master of riding a middle eight. Absolutely.
He does stick to a structure, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's what makes these...
It's a great pop song songs. Structure.
It's pop songs, but with, like, rocky... I think it's the pop... Here you go. I don't know where his inspiration. It would be good to ask him that question. I did meet him once, so it was pretty cool. It was really cool. Yeah, he seemed really cool.
This will be a recurring. Let's go to the next song, but we must keep the focus in this video on the legend that is Keith Scott.
Keith Scott is the legend,
because
unsung hero of guitar world.
I honestly don't think there is another guitar player in a band who has stayed. Not anonymous, is there? But you just think any other guitar player that in a rock band that have reached the kind of the fame of Brian Adams' band would has he's on the front cover of magazines and they have signature pedals, signature guitars, doing interviews, doing guitar courses, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. But he's not though. He's just this guy here. And he's still like, I remember trying to reach out to him because, you know, when we started doing all this and some Captain Meat stuff and they were over here, and I found he just went on Instagram and he's like 3,000 followers
or whatever. I think he's like, the greatest guitar player that you've never heard of that there is. I'm not saying what I mean is, I know a lot of guitar players will have heard of Keith Scott.
Yeah.
But outside of that realm, you know, it's like
it's never
non-guitar about- players know who... Joe Perry is, and they know who Richie Sambora is, and they know who Keith Richards is, and you know, it's like,
well, Keith Richards is a good example. He's made a name for himself out of a band, you know.
Yeah.
It's the Rolling Stones.
But I think but Keith Scott might be the greatest guitar player no one knows who he is.
Yeah, but is this face on the thing? Is this name?
Well, that's because the band is called Brian Adams, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, let's have a listen next track, which is arguably one of the greatest guitar intros in music history.
And in F sharp, isn't it?
It is.
It's not,
yes,
F, it's not E.
E.
It's
you need
F
to get
sharp,
that capo out,
yeah,
people.
Exactly. And listen to all how clean all these sounds are as well. I think they're fantastic.
Rimshot,
baby. And again.
Big reverse reverb.
Lots of reverb everywhere.
The feedback.
I mean, just
underrated bass line on that song as well. I've
great
never
musicians.
Really listened to that.
They're great musicians. They played, didn't they play? I remember New Year's Eve show or something on BBC. There's randomly just Brian Adams turning up at 12 o'clock. I mean, this
interesting
album is
interesting choice,
so
isn't it?
Iconic,
like,
isn't it?
You're leading with Summer of 69 as the first. I see, again, I think this is where the thought of the track order. Very much understood that at some point or other you had to flip the record over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you needed a big song, first song of the second side.
But did he know it was going to be a big song? That's the whole idea back then. You know, he had his first. What was the first album?
So.
We got this one as well.
Produced by Bob Clearmountain.
Yeah, yeah. It's just.
Don't you miss having all the words
absolutely.
And everything on the sleeve?
And you can see who played on it. You can see all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was a different experience. Here we go. Is this? Here we go. This
great
is that
bass drum sound.
It's like 24 inches. Right? Castanets. Harmony. There. And of course, there's the classic.
Oh yes, it's great, this.
No gain.
Lots of chorus, double track
no
chorus.
Gain. Yeah. And I like the way the drums, it's just one, it's like one, three, one and three. Anyway, super song, man.
What's the next one? Heaven.
Heaven is a massive. Great, I remember.
Ballad.
So here's a little anecdote. I remember when I was.
It's going to be your first
14...
girlfriend story, isn't it?
No, no.
Okay.
No, absolutely. You're not getting. I think that was Prince, Diamond and Pearls. I was on for that, which is another classic album. There was this talent show in Denmark. We did when we were like 15, 14 or something, and we played Heaven. Like a little bunch of kids, we were playing that Heaven song, the singer on the piano. Anyway, let's have a listen to Heaven. Another.
Ah, it's so Top Gun. It's just
it's
like,
so
it's
Top
so
Gun.
Top Gun.
It's so
I want to get half naked and play volleyball on the beach.
His voice as well is absolutely incredible.
It's
incredible. We were young and wild and free. Now nothing can take you away from me.
We've been down that road before. Here it comes. But that's over now.
You keep me coming back for more. Again. Baby, you're all I want. Yeah. That snare drums is like
sound.
When I saw him and I met him in Germany, doing a show in Germany, he was playing a song and he does this. He had a 1940 Martin D18 or something he was talking about. But when he sings, he's got this technique of singing because he's, and he still sounds the same to this day. But he's got this, he sings like that, so he was saying, he'll sort of sing away from the microphone. He's got this thing, and his voice is still this growly.
But I always think whenever I'm singing along, he sings in a quite a high register.
Yeah.
Again, but it's
pushing it.
Sounds, he doesn't, it's not as raspy as some singers' voice goes. It's still smooth, just a great rock voice.
It is. There's some great live albums as well, if you get into Ryan Adams.
On this album is every musician has great tone.
Yeah.
The drums sound great, the vocals sound great, the bass line sounds great. And I do think, I've never heard a bad Keith Scott guitar tone.
But it's not what you think it is. It's the same we talk about the Marshall. People think, you know, when they hear Marshall on an album, it's all this thing, too much gain all the time. There's not a lot of gain on this, right? And this is like a Strat. Here we go. Ready? Here comes the middle eight to die for.
Oh. Massive drums.
It's just. And then again. All the third. And then into the solo. There you go. Just clap it. Oh, I mean, one thing I could wish the guitar was just a slightly tiny, a bit louder in the mix sometimes. Because it's like the drums, you know. But what a...
There's nothing ever terribly rapid or flash about Keith's playing, is it? It's just all note selection and tone.
Yeah. And it's pentatonic. It's a tasteful. It's just tasteful. You know, he keeps saying, serve the song. He just plays what the song needs. And then a little bit less, like Tim Pierce was saying. It's so melodic. I've learned so much from him. In playing less is more.
We always talk about that. So come on. So let's get to the end of side one, and then we'll talk about what how does Keith Scott influence your playing?
We can certainly talk about
that. So what's last the next song one, then? Of side one.
Oh.
Somebody. Great rock song.
Is that another... Do I remember another... Isn't there another sort of thing in
we
the beginning?
We shall see.
There you go. The bass is like picked, and then the kick, the snare, it was like, it's just 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like...
Isn't this... This is just one of those
it's so
ultimate...
Simple.
I've got 500 miles to drive, it's a nice day,
yeah.
Putting my sunglasses on.
Move down, and then
it.
Just full on
I don't want to talk
wet.
To anybody in the car, just turning the volume up.
Long, I'm feeling
road.
Good, baby.
I know!
Yeah.
You know what, as well? We haven't. I need somebody, somebody
like you. Girl, I need somebody. Oh, so good. I need somebody. And you get down here in the middle. Go back down, take everything down. Right?
Okay.
I mean, it's just classic.
Well,
it's just classic. I'm going to leave this running, just in case I need to turn it up at some point when there's something. I think that's a great middle aid in this.
We haven't heard a bad
another
song
night,
yet.
Another night, another lasting love. Another. That's
is there?
No, it's not yet.
Nope.
I've got
another
actually.
Verse.
I've got in the other room in there. I've got a CD that I recorded with a band that I used to play in called Live of Brian. So live, not live, Live of Brian. And there's a demo CD in there, but we're like, I don't know how old we are. It's quite, and we're playing this song.
Do you know, when was the last, like, rock star Brian? Because there was definitely, like, three or four famous Brians, wasn't there? Like, Brian Ferry, Brian Johnson, Brian Adams. But I feel like now, apart from Brian McFadden, it's like, there's no more famous Brians, are
what's
there?
What's that Brian that was the other Brian that was...
But it's Tyler Brian.
Oh,
that
Adams.
That doesn't count.
Oh, Ryan Adams.
Oh,
Ryan
yeah.
Adams, yeah, he was the one that did naughty stuff, didn't he?
I think, I don't remember that. There was some controversy,
Brian,
wasn't there?
Brian...
Do you remember when we were talking to Tim Pierce and he talked about studio versus live, as in where guitar parts are tracked
rather
than... Oh, sorry, you're right.
I have to interrupt it. Third. Back again. He got the third. Everybody at the party sing along, you know. It's such a hit.
Yeah.
And again, he's got that when he does those middle eight. We call it C-sections in Denmark, you know.
Yeah, why do you call it a C-section?
Because you've got A, B, and C. So you got A is verse, B is chorus, and then C is... So,
yeah. And then C-section is
something else, no.
Something else much more painful.
But, yeah, I mean, I think, because it was probably later, when I was 17, 18, maybe, when I did this thing, and I think learning some of those songs, as much as I learn stuff, I never learn anything, but just listening to it and getting into his listen. It's so melodic, and it's so simple that, and I've always loved that way of playing, interpreting. It's like you've got a great melody, great lyrics, great drums, great bass. So why ruin that with guitar that's just all over the place? Do you know what I mean? Listening to this Pino, Questlove Supreme with Pino Palladino on the way in today, podcast, and he's such a cool dude. And he's got this, he was talking about this bass he's got. He hasn't changed strings on it since 1993, because he just likes the tone in it. And, you know, and he says it's all about playing.
I wonder if he's got a string endorsement, Pino Palladino. It's like, yeah, exactly. The cheapest string endorsement strings. Ever.
Yeah. It's all about, there was Questlove and the other guys were sort of asking him, you know, how he's just so, well, you played with Rocco, his son. Mm. It's just, there's just less, you can play one note and it's just more. It's difficult to explain.
Come on, let's listen to side
still,
two.
Still
let's
having a little bit of little bit of jet lag two. Going on here. Here we go. I believe there's another poof in the beginning on this.
Humongous
there?
Song.
Count me in. Wait, no.
Got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled.
Again, drums.
Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school.
A lot of nines.
Jimmy quit, Joey got married. Should've known we'd never get far.
You know what, it's got, I hate being the one to say it's, you know, the Beatles have written so many pop songs, yeah, where it's just simple chords and then once in a while you stick something in it. I wonder if he's got some inspiration from them somehow. It would be really interesting, because I don't know, I would love to know, you know.
I can't remember if we talked about this in a previous video, but I've never really done that big Beatles deep dive. In the way that Super Beatles fans do. I guess, you know, probably just was my dad's generation, not really mine.
Yeah.
And the other day I had, this is, I'm going to say about, I don't know, 2 months ago, I drove to, I don't know, I did some 300 mile round trip or whatever it was. So I was in the car for a good 3 or 4 hours. And I just thought, I'm going to go to the Apple Music Beatles Essentials.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Again, another one. It's going to have a third. There it is. Sorry.
But I drove for whatever it was, 4 hours. And it was a relentless massive hit, massive hit. I did get to the end of it and I just went, I mean, obviously everybody knows who the Beatles are and
everybody
talks about how, you know, important they were and how massive they were. But even, you know, even like 50 years later, I was sitting there going, actually, when you just listen to back to back, there is no other artist. No, not even by a, not even close. There's no other artist that literally can say, yeah, we had 100 massive songs.
And you know what? They, none of them were 30 when they split up. Yeah.
Anyway, this isn't about the, you know, we should do a Beatles version of this episode. But anyway, we're talking about Bryan Adams now.
Yeah.
You know what I like about this song as well? The lyrics remind me of the Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. It's like it's talking about that sort of sense of growing up and you know, life and I wonder if is Bryan Adams, is he old enough to, is this biographical? Like, as in, is he talking about himself in the summer of 69?
Because I'm just in trying to
think, is he...
I don't know.
He'd have to be... No, that can't be him then. Well, no, maybe it is. So in 69, he would... If he's 64 now...
It would have been 10.
It'd have been 10. So it's possible. It's sort... I think... I wonder if it's just the lyrics of summer of 69 rhymed better than summer of 73.
It's born,
or whatever the actual year was that
84.
He was in his first band.
He's at 25 top 15 singles in Canada.
Yeah.
And he sold more than 100 million records
and
singles.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it's just...
Born in 59.
Is he the biggest rock artist in Canada?
I mean, I would say well, who's going to be close? Justin Bieber is obviously probably going to be close in terms of record sales, but shouldn't even be in the same sentence.
Neil Young.
Neil Young.
I mean, Rush.
Yeah. Well, there were.
But no, Bryan Adams is a rock pop artist.
Yeah, and it's just.
And we're bound to have upset some Canadians by missing someone else massive.
Absolutely.
Big Wreck, obviously amazing.
Yes, but it's still. Not, 100 million. Not in the you same, don't. Who sells 100 million albums anymore on singles?
Hardly anyone.
Hardly anyone. Taylor Swift. Anyway, this next one I like. It's called Kids Wanna Rock, and it's such a great riff. So.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. So
that's
classic.
Got a bit of AC/DC.
Yeah. Ready?
Guitar sound. Yeah.
The kids wanna rock.
The kids wanna rock. Give me like a DJ. I got a friend that he's gotta play. I wanna hear it, I can't wait.
So again. I'm back down. Great song.
I'm looking for. I was getting vibes of another album here, and when I find it, you'll go, "Oh yeah, there you are."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a lot of blues.
These guys Canadian.
I don't know.
Or not. Or probably from Georgia, I imagine. So obviously not, since they're called the Georgia Satellites. Another great album.
I love this. This just this vibe. You get a little bit of a dive bomb there, probably on a Strat with like an old Fender system on it.
I mean, that's probably the heaviest song on the album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great song. Now.
Three times around at the end.
Everywhere I go, the kids wanna rock.
There you go.
This is about.
And it goes straight into. Straight into that.
Gone! This is.
And you get another one of these, right?
Tina sing as well, because it's
we need to listen. But it's, again, we're talking like a couple of songs. It's almost like, here's Wonderwall. It's Wonderwall kind of chords, you know. It's got that, because it's got.
I always like that do-do-do-do, the little lick that he plays.
Oh, I'm not saying it, but what a hit, man. Right? It's that this album is just, here we go.
Full on choking up goosebumps.
You have to, you have to put it in the car on the way back, home. It's great, man.
Wow.
Good times, man.
Her
get
voice
another,
as well.
Get another. Yeah. You getting lit? Just sing it here now.
Oh my life!
You're tearing up, man.
Wow.
It's so emotional, man. There we go. Is that the last one? No, it's one more, is it?
One more.
Yeah,
two more.
Two more?
Yeah.
What
oh, man,
hit.
It's just, this is nothing to do with Bryan Adams, but I just remember this was pretty much, I don't know, a year or two after my parents got divorced. And I just remember Tina Turner being such an inspiration for, like, all the women that were at the time trying to put their lives back together.
Absolutely, man. What a humongous inspiration for, and just the voice, man. If you haven't watched that Tina film, you should, because it's just
she
incredible.
Is unreal.
She took so much shit, man.
Yeah. But this,
and
what a voice.
Came out the other side of it.
Yeah.
Great.
Bigger and stronger. Good
Bigger
for her.
And stronger.
Come on. I mean, that's...
So what are we saying next here?
Have you had to pick your favourite song off this album?
Yeah, I can't.
It might... I think it would
can
be
you
that
pick,
one, to be honest
can
with
you. Can
you
pick your least favourite song off the album? That's even...
Well,
that's,
let's see.
That's
the,
even
the,
worse.
These last two here, I am less familiar with. Yeah. So let's try Long Gone.
Okay. I love this. And you're going to get another one of these, aren't you?
What is that guitar sound? Is it...
It's double
is it
tracked.
Just double tracked and that's what gives the chorus effect?
Yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because it's this... He uses that a lot, doesn't he? That sort of
it could be a Doppler. It could,
type.
Yeah, it's like that Doppler we did on the KMA thing.
Yeah, I think he's probably... It's a bit status quo here.
Yeah.
What a great voice they are.
And I'm a happy boy. I tell you, playing in a Bryan Adams tribute band is difficult to pick songs, because the next so the
or what, is it
the Neighbours say, and then you got then you I mean 18 Till I Die. I think it's an incredible album. I think it's fantastic. There's so many great songs.
I even
there.
Like sounds, the one he did with Sporty Spice.
Yes, but that's the
that's
thing,
quite a bit
isn't
later,
it?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
but.
Oh, there's a good solo in this thing. So we see if there's
I'm
like...
I'm just reading
do
the
we
lyrics.
Think a middle eight as well? With some thirst in the bass. Solo now, I think. Oh. Shoulder moment, isn't it? So simple.
And then in two notes in the whole solo. Oh, a few more there.
Yeah.
A harmonica.
Who's playing harmonica on this? Is that him? It's a Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, it's funny because all of these chords, it definitely for me, when I play the rock stuff, you know, it sort of creates, there's a great feeling.
Oh.
Just the real amp in the studio, and it's just loud. It's going, you know. I'm a happy guy. So what's the next? What's the last
this
one?
This last song? I was just reading who the thanks are for here.
Oh, this is the last one.
No, there's one more.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Ain't gonna cry. I was just reading who the thanks are, but it's like Vinci Strings get a thank you, yeah. Whoever they are. Richard's Rare Guitars.
It must be in Canada somewhere, right?
Maybe.
There's not normal Rare Guitars. They don't even open when we're there. Can't believe that.
There's a Steve Smith is on my... I wonder if that's Steve Smith,
from
the drummer.
Marshall. Oh, so
no, not
Marshall.
Steve Smith, the Marshall demo guy. No,
maybe.
Anyway, right.
Anyway,
come
so
on, last song.
Last
Ain't
song.
Gonna Cry.
Yeah, so that... It's a ballad, isn't it?
I don't... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, hang on. This is even more rocky than Kids Wanna Rock. I remember this now. This is fun. This is a fun song.
I
this is... This song is probably the least known one, I think. But it ends up... The very end of it, it just gets chaotic completely.
I wonder if this was... I'm sort of feeling like I don't know I've ever really heard this on the radio.
I don't think
all
so.
The other ones, but I think great. At some point or other I have. Don't cry over you. It sounds like a slave tune.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of Noddy Holder Christmas tune. Good bass line.
Yeah. Ready? I think every verse and chorus gets more and more chaotic. So you listen
I wonder if this is the very last line or the very last sort of verse of this song is, I wonder if that's where the Reckless, it's got a line and it says, I got reckless, baby, in the song. I wonder if that's where the album name comes from.
Sweet. This is the chaos starting. Oh yeah.
So classic.
There's a little bit more. Do you hear that?
Yeah, what was it?
It just gets more and more chaotic in the end of the song. It just ends up in one big mess. It's great, great to end of. Listen. It's a great way to end an album, this. It's a proper way, listen.
I was just gonna say it's the Flash Gordon album from Queen.
A one, a two, a one, two, three.
That's I love this. Here comes the chaos. Mushrooms, wow.
Oh, it's too long.
No, we have to finish it, come on. Listen. Explosion is like Rob Chapman.
It sounds like the end of some of our pedal videos sometimes, doesn't it? I'm taking this album cover down to the hairdressers next time, I'm saying.
I want
the Bryan Adams.
I used to have that.
I haven't got the hairline anymore.
What an absolute fantastic album, man.
Yes.
I think if you're a guitar player and you just want an inspiration or something, you know, it's not just the guitar playing.
It's 40 years old this year, that album. Wow. I know.
So I must just have been I was at seven, right? Six, seven. So I was seven.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit too young to take it in.
Yeah, no, it's perfect for me. Perfect for me, I was 12.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, we digress now because we've got to go on to the next one.
Yeah, we have to.
Right.
Man, that was great.
Well, I hope you're enjoying, I don't know what we're doing with this little series of videos, but...
It's just nice to revisit all these old albums. If not for you out there, then for us.
Next
Is
up.
Is that the next one?
I think it might be. Ooh. Right, see you next time.
Thanks for listening to our latest podcast. If you enjoyed it, hit that subscribe button. See you next time.